The last few weeks or so have been stemmed on what I just call good questions in the Bible. We've talked about a number of different questions, I guess you could say, that exist in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 18, there's something interesting. We've gone over these, so I'm just going to use this to continue on in our message about a question that the Lord asked here that I think is a good question in your Bible. And so in Genesis 18, we have the situation of Abraham and Sarah. The tent has been pitched, and they're sitting in the tent. And so in Genesis 18, verse 1, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Anybody know anything about the heat of the day, huh? And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, kneaded, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And I emphasize those two verses before about the importance of handling and taking care of the Lord's business. For instance, in verse 6, Abraham hastened. That's hurrying up. Quickly, he says, quickly make three measures of fine meal. Verse 7, Abraham ran into the herd. The young man hastened to dress it. It's all an urgency here. It's all saying that this is for the Lord's sake, so let's get on with the program and not be slack in our responsibilities as to what we need to do. And so, verse 8, he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." And so here you have the account that the Lord's telling Abraham, look, you're going to wind up, you through Sarah, you're going to have a child. And Sarah laughed about it, and the Lord said, well, why'd Sarah laugh? And the question there that exists that we want to think about is in verse 14, where the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, when you keep in mind what Abraham and Sarah were looking at, you can see why Sarah may have laughed at this given situation. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Look in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, this is in reference to Abraham. In Romans 4, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So there's a reference there to Abraham. And being, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about a hundred years old, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So here's an improbability, it's an impossibility where birth can come from Sarah. Why? Because of what it says at the end of verse 19, the deadness of Sarah's womb. There's no way birth can come through the deadness of Sarah's womb. And so you see now why Sarah laughed when God said, hey, Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a son. And she laughed at it because it's a common thing with mankind that once the womb is dead, no birth can come from it. No birth can come from the deadness of Sarah's womb. And so the question that God presented was, is there anything too hard for the Lord? In other words, how can I not overcome the deadness of Sarah's womb? So Abraham and Sarah try to bring forth the promise of the son on their own ability or through their own ability. Go back to Genesis again and go back to Genesis chapter 16 and we'll see how they go about bringing forth this promise through their own ability. Now, I know we've read over these the past couple of weeks, but we need to do it to lead into the rest of the message. So, in Genesis 16, verse 1, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah's, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And we'll just hold up there. But what the point is here is God had made a promise to Abram that a child, a seed, would come out through Abram and pass through Sarah and it would become a great nation. That was the promise. And we see that Abram believed God at the time it was told to him, but thinking Sarah's womb is dead. So they've got to go around that problem as they see it, by going through Hagar and bringing the promise of God through Hagar. And that's not the way God wanted it. God wanted the promise brought through Sarah. Sarah, thy wife shall conceive and bear a son. So here you have Abram and Sarah carrying this thing out by, in, and through their fleshly efforts. Carrying the promise of God out by the fleshly efforts. And so, Ishmael born from this. Ishmael, a type of the flesh. Ishmael taken from a fleshly act. Now, I want to relate to you some things about us in connection to what took place here. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15... look in verse 22. It says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So I see, you know, folks, this whole thing that we're talking about basically is dealing with flesh and spirit. I mean, that's what it's really dealing with, the flesh and the spirit. Well, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for in Adam all die. There is death. I want you to remember that we read in Romans 4, the deadness of Sarah's womb. Deadness. No life there. No ability. For in Adam, all die. There's deadness involved there. Matter of fact, look in Ephesians chapter 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes in verse 1, he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And as Tim was pointing out earlier about the world just being enveloped into this thing with the death of Michael Jackson and all, well, folks, it all stems around these verses that we just read. The reason why they do that, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That is the course of this world. The course of this world is to build up and edify the flesh. That's the course of this world. So when some high-profile individual passes away, like Michael Jackson, the world mourns and recognizes that. That's the hope of the world. That's the confidence. That's what makes their day go. And so that's what the world's all about. But the point I want to get, and I kind of broke off from it, is in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Remember Romans 4. The deadness of Sarah's womb. Dead in trespasses and sin. All in Adam are dead. Turn to Colossians and look in Colossians chapter 2. Look in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, look in verse 13. In Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. There's no doubt, folks, that when man is born into this world in this flesh, he's dead. Remember the deadness of Sarah's womb. And the reason why I point this out is because man recognizes his sinful state. Man recognizes his situation before God. Man recognizes the fact that he is in a troubled position because of sin in his life. You don't have to go out there and tell man that he's a sinner. I mean, that's not breaking news today. You don't have to convince men that they're sinners. They know they are. They know they are. Man knows that he has a problem. Man knows that he tries to bring that problem and put it to the side and get it out of the way. But he does it on his own efforts. You remember Abraham and Sarah? The deadness of Sarah's womb, the age of them? God made the promise of bringing forth life from Sarah. But, oh, we can't do that. It's an impossibility to do that. So we're going to do it on our own, and the end result is they go around the promise of God to bring forth the promise of God through Hagar. And the end result is Ishmael. The end result is Ishmael. And so here comes Ishmael from that birth. You know, you got a lot of Ishmaelites gathering today. Don't you know that? Think about it. You have a lot of people gathering today in church trying to bring forth a promise that God has made through their own efforts. God promised eternal life through Jesus Christ. God promised to give anybody eternal life by faith in Christ, and they're trying to bring that promise through their own efforts. Nothing's changed. No wonder the writer of Ecclesiastes said, there's nothing new under the sun. Man is always the same. You know, people today claim, oh, y'all read that King James book, that old book. How can this old book be relevant for today? Because we are old people. Whatever Adam and Eve were, we are. We are. We're just contemporary. We think we got something new working here. There ain't nothing new under the sun, folks. Nothing new. You got the same troubles today that you had from creation. You have people that deny God. And when I say deny God, they don't say, I don't believe in God. They deny God in His Word and the fact that He can bring them life through Jesus Christ. You don't tell me an individual believes God when he believes he's got to confess, repent, turn, get baptized, live right, and maybe he's going to have eternal life. You telling me he believes God? Absolutely not. Or he may believe God exists. He doesn't deny the existence of God. But we're talking about believing the Lord. So we see in this flesh, mankind is no different today than the deadness of Sarah's womb, where no life can come out of it. It's like I've said before. An individual dies, they've lived their whole life trying to live for God. They've done every religious act that they've been told. Been good, been right, done right, attended church, was faithful to church, part of this group, that group, help ambassadors, all this other program stuff, but have never trusted in Jesus Christ. All the goodness they've done, there they are. They die, and there's a casket. Oh, look at him. He looks like he's just sleeping. No, he's dead. He's gone. I always think the thing that always runs through my mind is, get up. I mean, you took all this flesh and all of this effort from the flesh. You die, now get up. How you gonna get up? I'm not talking about just rising. I'm talking about getting up. How you gonna get up? But we do have another side to the story. Turn to Galatians. Turn left and go to Galatians chapter 6. I tell you what, before we go to this, I got to do something else. We'll go to Galatians. Turn over to Genesis 22. Look in Genesis 22. Now, just to let you know, earlier we read, if you remember, earlier we read in chapter 16 about Ishmael. Ishmael was brought forth by the flesh. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, believing that what God had promised, he was also able to do. What is that? Bring forth life through the deadness of Sarah's womb. So, Abraham goes into Sarah. Sarah conceives and brings forth a son, Isaac. Tell me something. How many sons does Abraham have? Now we're going to do it all together. Tell me, how many sons does Abraham have? Genesis 22, verse 1. Now, we're not going through the entire storyline, and some of you are going to keep reading and you're going to miss the message. Just a couple of verses. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he, that's God, he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. As far as God was concerned, Abraham had one son, and that was Isaac. That's where the promise of God came in and through. Through the deadness of Sarah's womb. They tried to circumvent the deadness of Sarah's womb by going into Hagar and brought forth Ishmael. But when God addresses Abraham in Genesis 22, he says, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and offer him up for a sacrifice. Now, we'll not go into that portion of the message because it goes way beyond where we can go today. Nonetheless, turn to Galatians chapter 6. Look in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians 6 verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Turn to 1 Timothy. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Life everlasting. the Spirit brings forth the life everlasting. The Spirit brings forth life everlasting. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Look in Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. By His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, folks, the gospel gets preached, which has to do with the cross of Christ, Him dying for our sin, Him being buried, and by the way, the deadness of Sarah's womb. Christ lay dead in that tomb. No life comes from a tomb, you understand? It's a sheer impossibility. But God had promised to raise up Christ, and He did. So the good news is, Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day. God promised eternal life through that good news to mankind. God will bring life from death to anybody that trusts in Jesus Christ. For in Adam all die. You who were dead in your sins and your trespasses, man is dead. But God will bring forth life based upon any individual trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's by the work of the Spirit that brings forth life. Read verse 11 again. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, how do you get the Spirit in you? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul told the Ephesians, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed it, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Christ dwells in you, the Spirit dwells in you, by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, if that Spirit which raised up Jesus Christ is in you, guess what, folks? We who are dead in trespasses and sins will be raised up by the guarantee of God's Word through Jesus Christ. You can't circumvent that truth by living for God and doing for God and acting like a Christian and doing all the religious works and think that when you die, you're on your own accord going to be raised up from the dead. You'll be like Ishmael, not Abraham's son. We are the children of God. We are the sons of God by faith in Christ. Abraham, take thy son, thine only son. You want to be a child of God? You have got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You can't go any other way to get into a position of being in the family of God other than the faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can do it. That's how it goes. I mean, you know, that's the way God's going to carry it out. Why? Because we that are dead have got to count on Him who can raise the dead to raise up our mortal bodies by His Spirit. You see, they're saying once again, it's all about flesh versus spirit. And we have people by the millions today carrying forth a fleshly act trying to get up to God, and it won't happen. It only comes by, in, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Anybody need to hear this message, you think? Do you know anybody that needs salvation in your life? Anybody you know? Is there anybody here that there's one person, there's not a single person out of all that you know that doesn't need eternal life? I know a lot of people, and they're all, not all of them are saved. The conclusion is, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth that Christ died for their sins, that He was buried and raised again the third day. Therefore, God can impute His righteousness unto them by faith in Jesus Christ, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You do realize that when God told Abraham that you're going to have a son and brought him out and said, look up there, Abraham. You see those stars up there? Can you number them? No.
said, well, your seed's going to be just like that. And the Bible says he believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. So how does righteousness get imputed to an individual today? You believe in the Lord. What is that? That he died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day. And because of that, God makes a promise to give everyone eternal life through Jesus Christ. Folks, this is a simple thing. It's a simple message. And whenever you're talking to someone and they're starting to segue off onto these far-reaching comments and stuff, bring them back to the cross. You dominate the conversation. You control the conversation. You're the one with the truth. You're the one with the book. You call the shots. It's like driving down the road and you're going a little bit too fast and the police pull you over. You don't get out the car and tell him, what are you doing pulling me over? Why don't you get back in your trooper car there and just drive off happy? How about it? You got no right to pull me over. I can speed if I want. No. They pull you over. They call the shots. You get out the car. You go, get back in the car. You get in the car. Stick both hands out the window. You're out there. They call the shots. You got some authority, folks. If you're the child of God, walk with a little authority. I mean, you're not out here on your own. You do have God on your side. I mean, come on. Somebody breathe deep for me. There, thank you. I mean, we've got something here. And it's not a matter of saying, oh, well, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe. I don't need you to believe it. There's two beliefs. There's an acknowledging belief. And there's a belief that carries out the acknowledging. Abraham believed God before Isaac was ever born, right? Abraham believed God before Isaac was ever born. Well, that belief didn't bring Isaac into the world. It wasn't till he acted on the belief that brought Isaac into the world. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about a belief that will bring forth an action that will bring forth an end result of the work of God. What is that? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you all said, well, you didn't all say it. I saw a head nod. You know people that are lost. You know people. I challenge everybody this week. Talk to one person you know that's lost. Not the person you've been dealing with for years at work. Oh, they just never, leave them alone. Find somebody that you know. And look for an open opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. Let the Lord carry this thing out. You got something. You got something big in your hands, you understand. And it's more than just walking through these doors, you guys sitting down, listening to me go on for 40, 45 minutes, and then leaving out of here. It's big. The entirety of the salvation of this world is hinged upon us. It's almost laughable when you think about it. The enormity of God, and he's counting on us, these wretched, vile individuals? Yes, he does. You know why? Because the spirit of him that raised up Christ dwells in us and works in and through us to others that need to hear the gospel. Share it with someone. Talk to somebody about it. Folks, it's a program that is absolutely guaranteed by God to work. So don't just believe it. Believe it in carrying it out to others also. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.